Today we are looking at education. It's been a bit of a roller coaster if you are a teacher or indeed a pupil. It has been ever changing and lots of challenges have been thrown up. But what if you are, say, a college which specialises in teaching people with visual impairments, or indeed you're a student who themselves are blind or partially sighted? Well, today we have Lucy Proctor and Abdul, both from the Royal National College of the Blind in Hereford. Lucy, you're the executive principal. What's been like for yourselves as a college trying to adapt to these ever-changing circumstances?
It's been one of the biggest challenges I think we've ever faced, the same as everybody else, and one of the reasons for that has been the sheer speed of change. So I think in this academic year we've been able to be a bit more ahead of the curve, so we had clear plans in place when the students came back to campus for the autumn term, and we were able to adapt very, very quickly this term. I hesitate to say that it is going smoother this time around. It's been an incredibly steep learning curve, though. It's been a cliff face of a learning curve.
The college has a mix of residential and you have pupils who come in sort of day to day as well from outside. Has that been challenging? Because obviously if you've got pupils who stay on site as well.
So we only have a couple of day students. Everybody else is residential. And they are, of course, travelling back from all over England and Wales, plus a few international students as well. So it's one of the things that we've had to take into account after each half-term break is where are students coming from, what's been happening back in their home area, and what's the additional risk of bringing everybody together into halls of residence, which when the weather is glorious and you've got all the windows open, you can obviously ventilate very easily. So it's been an additional complicating factor, I would say.
When you're teaching students who have a sight condition, obviously you're looking at using things like assistive technology, screen readers, magnification, braille. I'm thinking especially if they have to home study.
That's a really interesting one, and I think it is somewhere where we have been ahead of the curve. So before lockdown came in March of last year, we'd already issued each student with a personal device and started training in teams, so that then when we have had to move to remote learning, whether it's been in the hall of residence because there's been a case on campus, or whether it's been when the students are back at home, they've got their kit, they've got their software, and it's less of a barrier to learning, I think, than it would be for students perhaps who are working in a classroom with a teaching assistant.
What's it been like for the staff having to deliver lessons in what's probably more a remote way?
There's had to be a lot of adaptation, obviously, and of course a lot of the staff, because we're in a lockdown, have got children at home themselves or have got caring commitments. So there have been challenges to them in terms of making sure that they can still deliver the full timetable. So we've rejigged the curriculum so that we're focusing on theory at the moment. There are some things that we can't deliver remotely, like mobility and independent living skills. So for every student, the teachers are working on a personal action plan. And when they're back on campus, we'll be backfilling the practical skills, having focused on theory while they're at home. So it is a huge challenge, but it's something that we've been able to approach quite creatively, I would say, to make sure that we've still got a full curriculum being delivered now, but that crucially, by the end of the academic year, the students have been able to achieve all of their outcomes.
What about when students are within the buildings themselves? You know, we talk a lot about the difficulties of socially distancing if you're blind or partially sighted. You touched on the ventilation side of things, but how has that affected you? Have you had to look at different ways again within your buildings when you are allowed to have students indoors?
Oh, completely. The model that we're working to now, we usually have our students in two halls of residence based on age, an under 18 and over 18 hall. And the students are now in one of three households, which is based on the programme of study. And that household lives together, studies together, socialises together. And we've essentially zoned the college campus. So everybody who isn't student facing is working from home and has been since last March. And that's meant we can use every single space on the campus for delivery. So there are three separate zones, three separate buildings that the students could be based in at any one time within their household. And then when they move to a different area, there's a deep clean undertaken before the next household comes in. I think it is hard for the students as well, because although it means they get to be on campus and they're being taught face to face, they don't have the opportunity to socialise with every student on the campus. So their opportunities are slightly more restricted, but it is a case of balancing things out. Working in this way does allow us to have full social distancing in place. We've been working to 2 metre social distancing throughout, not 1.5 metres. We've got PPE everywhere. We've got the hand gels and sanitizers on the entrance to every room, of course, in exactly the same position on the door frame so it can be found easily.
We do have Abdul with us, who is a student at the RNC. Abdul, you're working from home at the moment. How's that going?
I think the practice that we had over the summer term has meant that although it's not anyone's preferred method of learning, we have all the resources. Teachers have adapted their ways of teaching, and how work is submitted has adapted. Very grateful for all the structure that we have. You can be basically receiving your timetable lessons, typically like 5 hours a day, and it just gives you structure, and it means that you're able to get what you need to learn as if you were at college.
What kind of assistive technology do you use at the moment?
I'm very fortunate to be at RNC, as in I've now got my personal laptop provided by the college, and that has my preferred assistive technology. So I use a screen reader, JAWS. And yeah, I've got all the software that I need. I've got Teams, I've got things that we've never heard of before. It's all installed on there, and it means that we can work to achieve the tasks that we need to achieve as if we were at college. Apart from obviously the, when we're looking at the practical aspect of courses, then obviously the college have got a plan for that, for when we hopefully go back as soon as possible.
Has it been a challenge learning new things like Teams, you know, on top of your coursework as well, or have you found that quite an easy transfer?
I remember in March, we got sent home on a Friday, and straight away, college have adapted really, really quickly. And by 9 a.m. the Monday after the weekend, I was basically getting lessons delivered over Teams. Also, just wanted to comment here about how the delivery of teaching is being done over Teams. I mentor some children from mainstream school whose school used Teams or Zoom or whatever, and it's not really very accessible to them. So resources are being shared on the Zoom board, which, you know, if you're visually impaired, you can't really access. If something is screen shared, you can't really read using your screen reader. But I think how RNC is doing it, the use of different applications, when, you know, it's literally as easy as sending an email with the attachment beforehand and saying, oh, this is what we're going to be covering. This is a PowerPoint presentation to look at, or this is the Word document that we're going to be screen sharing. I think it makes it a lot more easier for students to get that content.
What about, you know, being at college, being amongst staff and your friends and other students as well? Has that been something that's been a bit harder to get used to? Do you miss the kind of hustle and bustle of college life?
Honestly, I can't wait. I literally can't wait for the vaccination program to boost and improve the situation. The bubble system has proved, you know, to work, as in if one bubble obviously had suspected case or confirmed case, then the other areas of college have, it can continue. So that means that you can't really socialize with other students. A lot of new students I still haven't really met with them in person, although the college is doing really well with providing online social activities and people are getting involved over that. But yeah, it's been a bit of a challenge.
Lucy, students are missing that normal college life, that real personal interaction. But in terms of the education, it sounds like you've been in a really good place to almost hit the ground running and almost overcome challenges before they've appeared.
I think we have this time around, and it's an absolute credit to the teaching staff who've been just front and centre of driving creative ways of approaching this. And for their leaders who did look at what equipment are the students going to need, what training are they going to need in advance to be able to access things. And Abdul's absolutely right. I think this time around, the social side of things has improved so much. And that's being driven by the student representative group, who are working with all the students, coming up with the ideas that they want. And where we've got staff on the teaching side who can't deliver at the moment, like mobility and independent living skills, they're instead focusing on providing one-to-one support to students and helping to put these activities on, so that it's not just about being in front of the screen and getting the college work done, that there is that more holistic RNC experience out there as well. We've been incredibly fortunate in the way that our staff have approached all these challenges, but also in the way that the students have. They've been so responsive, and Abdul's mentioned how keen they are to get back on campus, which we all are, but they've also been so dedicated and so determined to overcome any barriers to make sure that they're still accessing their learning while they're at home as well. So there's a lot to be really proud of, I think, over the last year, although goodness knows I wouldn't ever want to repeat it again.
If people would like to learn more then about the RNC, Lucy, what's the best way to do that?
Start with the website, which is www.rnc.ac.uk. And that's got all the information about the courses that we offer and the provision that's available normally. It's also got the information about how we're working at the moment remotely and how to apply if somebody's interested in the college.
Best luck with the rest of the year, and let's hope it won't be long before everyone is back to the normal college life once again. But for the moment, to Lucy and to Abdul, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.